7,
which we read or concluded yesterday's class with. That verse is considered the Paribhasya Sutra of the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam nishkana adhyam pramiti paramitmiti bhagavaniti sabdite. Paribhasya Sutra means practically the seed verse and the rest of the Bhagavatam. The rest of the Bhagavatam is an expansion or an explanation of that verse. Because in that verse, the absolute truth is briefly described as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. That is Tattva, the Tattva, the truth. So, what is the process of actually realizing that Tattva? And that is explained in the following verse, in text 12, the first verse that we'll move on from and hear today. So, tachadana munayo gyanavairagyuktaya pashanti atmani tatmanam bhaktya shutagrahitaya. So, what is the process of actually realizing that tattva? We heard how that tattva was realized in three different ways according to how one approaches that tattva. Brahman is realized by the jnanis who use their intelligence to discriminate, to see themselves as different from the body. And they ultimately can realize that absolute as the Brahman, the effulgent, the all-pervading. Then the yogis, through their practice of different yoga, first the yam niyam, then asan, then pranayam, pratyahara, the different processes of yoga, dharan, dhyan, and then samadhi, the goal of that is to focus the consciousness fully upon the super soul within the heart. This is samadhi. Samadhi means when one is meditating fully and only on the Lord. The practice of yoga is meant for that. And then finally, Bhagavaniti, the Supreme Lord, who is the ultimate realization, he is realized through bhakti. So this verse describes that factor plus some more. So tachadadana munayo, those who are seriously inquisitive, very deeply, it is one thing to be curious, and I'd sure like to know about God. I'd like to know about the... Yeah, it would be nice to be fully Krishna conscious. But that's casual. But seriously inquisitive means fixed and pointed in one's desire. Only desiring that thing, that's seriously inquisitive. So, such a person, as we heard before, in Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnaniyat Yasu Vairagyam, that when one practices devotional service, all the accoutrements required to successfully practice that devotional service are very quickly given by the Lord. So therefore, Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya, that he is well equipped, the very serious student of the Absolute Truth. He is well equipped with knowledge and detachment. Jnana vairagya yuktaya. But it is not that the knowledge and the detachment is the thing that allows him to see the absolute truth in one sense. It is the accoutrements, it is the equipment, but it is not the essence. The essence, Pashyanti, he is able to see Atmani Atmanam, Chatmanam. He's able to see the Lord within himself. How? Bhaktya. Through bhakti. Through his devotion. And how is that devotion practiced? Shrutigrahitaya. Means that it is practiced with reference to the Shruti, such as Vedanta Sutra, etc. Shruti, Smriti, Paranadi, Pancharatra, Vidim, Vina. That without Shastric reverence, one will not be able to practice bhakti properly. Not whimsically, in other words. It has to be done according to Shastra, according to the prescription itself by the Lord, through Shastra. But this is the method. It is bhakti, according to Shastra. Because by bhakti, as we will hear, bhakti makes the Lord inclined to his devotees. Madhurya karuna sarupa ponata. Madhurya sarupa ponata bhaktavatsalya atma pajeta pajantaha. That when one is Krishna conscious, when one actually has bhakti, love for Krishna, then Krishna becomes so inclined to that devotee. Madhurya Aishwarya Karuna Swarupa Purnata. Krishna has so many exalted, wonderful qualities. In fact, he is that. He is wonderful qualities. That's what Krishna is. But the most wonderful quality is how he becomes inclined to someone who is a devotee. Yoga chemam baham yaham. So, it is also explained here that if one wants to realize the absolute truth in the form of Brahman by practicing jnana yoga, for instance, one cannot realize that. Even that form of the Lord as Brahman, without bhakti. One cannot get the fruit of karma without bhakti. At least a tinge must be there to get any fruit of anything. So either karma, jnana, yoga, to get the respective realizations or fruits from one's work, to get one's desire, there has to be some element of pleasing Krishna in there, pleasing the Supreme Lord. So therefore, even the Brahmavadis, the impersonalists, they will worship the deity, they will try to read Srimad Bhagavatam, they will chant japa, they will chant the Lord's names. Because without some effort to please the Lord, even though the Brahmavadi may not think that that is the ultimate, but they need mercy. This is the point. To get anything, one needs mercy. And mercy is a quality that Krishna possesses. Aishwarya Karunya. He possesses mercy, so without Krishna's mercy, no one can achieve anything. So that is how the tattva is realized. By bhakti, one gets Krishna's mercy. But the process of realization is bhakti. So this is the highest process. So Prabhupada spends time in his purport explaining this point, which he has explained before, and it won't be the last time we hear it, that bhakti, as it is commonly thought of, that bhakti is for those who cannot perform, who aren't great scholars, and bhakti is for those who can't perform austerities. Oh yes, it's alright, you practice bhakti, okay. But it is not like that. Bhakti is the ultimate. And by bhakti, actually, one brings Krishna under control. Bhakti is so powerful. So, Prabhupada also explains in his purport that there are three kinds of bhaktas. There are four kinds of human beings he describes. The first is the karmi, who is basically on the animal level, in the sense that his concern is only for the body and sense enjoyment. But the other three, the jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas, they are transcendentalists. That means their desires are not of this world, they are beyond this world. But the realizations that they get as the fruit of their work is not complete, because the complete realization is not the Brahman realized by the jnanis, nor the Paramatma realized by the yogis, but it is the source of those, because it is Krishna. Krishna is the source, he is Bhagavan, he is Swayam Bhagavan, he is the supreme source of everything. This is actually the most confidential knowledge that Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. So out of those devotees, which are the topmost, there are three different levels. One is the Kanishta Arikari, and then there's the Madhyam Bhagavat, and then there is the Uttam. So the Kanishta, in the lowest category, he has material desires. But he is going to Krishna for those. Chaturvidha bhajante mam gyanasya. He's a Sukritino. But he sees mostly, or only practically, the deity in the temple. He does not recognize the devotees. His devotion is only expressed to the deity, and therefore is considered inferior. He doesn't see the living entities or anything is connected to the Lord. They, such persons, the Prakriti Bhaktas, they must make advancement to at least the second class. The second class devotee, he sees four things. Not only the deity, he sees four things. He sees the Lord, he sees the devotees, he sees the innocent or the ignorant, and he sees those who are envious of God, and he treats each one of those differently. But that position of being a madhyam or intermediate bhakta, that allows one to move forward, that gives one the qualification to move forward, because it allows him to associate properly with the devotees. And from that association and service, we will hear later, comes Vasudeva Kataruchi, a taste. And this first class devotee is one who is pure, he is fixed. The others are fixed, but this is, he is really fixed, deeply fixed. He has attained the shelter of the Lord's service. So how can the beginner come to the second platform so he can get to the third platform, the topmost platform? And that is by association with the Bhagavats, both of them, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. We'll be hearing about this tomorrow as well. This is the process, by hearing. And then, the conclusion of this thrust up to this point, because in the previous verses we've heard how all the different this dhammasya yapavagasya narta arta upakalpate, and then kamasya nendriya priti labo jivati yavata, that all the duties that one performs, they should lead one to the absolute truth. They are not meant for any material gain, because material gain ultimately is useless, because it vanishes when the body dies. Vanishes like a puff of smoke. How would you feel happiness if someone said, I will give you so much money, but it's in the form of smoke, and then if you go like this and it's dissipated? Well, that's what all wealth in the material world is like, in all its forms. Just smoke that's dissipated by the wind of time. So the duties are meant for Krishna's pleasure. That is the purpose of Vanashram. So that point is concluded here in text 13. Atapumbir. So for human beings, Atapumbir Dvijashreshtas Vanashrama Vabhagasya Svanustitasya Dharmasya. That the result, the ultimate result that one should attain by the performance of all his prescribed duties is bhakti. In what form? Samsidhiya Haritoshanam. Haritoshanam means that it brings the pleasure of Hari. So the duties are performed by a living entity in such a way they are all gathered around the pleasure of Hari. That is the actual purpose of Vanashrama. And this is described in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita too. Yatta pravitabhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam. When one performs his duties, oh my Lord, I am following the Vanashrama system, I am doing my prescribed duties because they have been prescribed by you. You have given these duties. Chattavanamaya shishtam. This Vanashrama system is created by Krishna. So therefore, my Lord, I am doing these duties. Please, you be pleased. Samsadhiya Haritoshana. So this is the conclusion. The purpose of all duties, this is on the karma level especially, it's speaking of the Vanashrama, the divisions of work, vibhagasa, according to vana and ashrama, that all activities, all the social interactions that go on, there's four vanas, four ashramas, brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, they have the twofold purpose of allowing society to interact in a smooth way. But the way that the society does interact in a smooth way is when all the personalities, the personages who are in the Vanashrama system, their mood is, I will please Krishna. Not, I will lord it over this one, and the Brahmins are better than this one, and the Kshatriyas are more powerful than this one. No, not like that at all. Because in that way, I am in the center. And as long as I am in the center, there will be no smoothness in the interactions. But rather, when the purpose is to please Krishna. Samsadhiya Haritoshanam. So on one hand, society works so smoothly when that is actually the center. And on the other hand, the living entities all become purified. And what is the center of that, of the Vanashrama, is to please Krishna? And what is the center? What is the main essence of that? Of the pleasing Krishna? Which, after all, that is the definition of bhakti. Those activities that are done for Krishna's pleasure, with him in the center. So the next verse explains how all our activities, our whole life, should be centered around Krishna. So all these verses, one after another, are so important, such valuable instructions, and elucidated so powerfully by Srila Prabhupada in his purports. Tasmad ekena manasa. Tasmad means therefore. manasam, the mind, ekena, with one pointed attention of the mind. So therefore, the conclusion, since everything is meant, all occupations, all dharma is meant for Krishna's pleasure, therefore, with one pointedness of mind, Bhagavan Satvatam Ampati, with the purpose of the pleasure of Bhagavan, who is Satvatam Pati, which the Pati means the protector, and the Satvat means the devotees. The Lord is the protector of his devotees. So with one pointed mind, can we just imagine if we chanted our rounds, if we worshiped the deity, if we did all our duties throughout the day, if we interacted with a one-pointed tasmare kena manasa, with one-pointed attention around pleasing Krishna. Just imagine how different our life would be. And then we should engage in the activities of life. And what are those activities of life? Prabhupada explains Shottavya, or actually Sutta is explaining here, and then Prabhupada explains it very nicely in the purport, that Shottavya Kirtatavyascha Deyas Pujascha Nityada, that this act of one-pointed act of pleasing Krishna should be continuously performed in the form of hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, worshipping Krishna, and meditating upon Krishna. This is what we should do. This is how society should be organized. This is these Prabhupada says that activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. The four principles are hearing about something, glorifying something, worshipping something, and meditating, thinking about something. And these all should be focused on Krishna. And there's some in this chapter there are so many classic purports by Prabhupada. And here he says, any man, especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he's simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda. And by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reaction to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Why should we only glorify Him? He is the one who has created everything manifest before us. In other words, he is so powerful, and everyone else is just insignificantly powerful and not worthy of glorification when compared to the potency of the Lord. So what would be the result if one actually did this? What would be the result? Especially because that glorification brings remembrance. What is the result of this, of the remembrance, and therefore of all the glorification and the worship? What is the result? because Krishna's or Sutta is saying that you should do this with ekena manasa, fixedness of mind. So what result will come from this? Yaranudyasina yukta karma granti nabandana. This is the recommendation. This karma granti, the knot, granti means the knot of our karma, of all that we are due in this life from our previous activities, all the suffering that will come for this and future lives. This knot of karma which binds us to the material world, chindanti, is cut by the sword of this remembrance of Krishna. It cuts our material existence. Therefore, chindanti kovidas tasya konat koryat kataratim. That who, what kind of an intelligent person, knowing that this is the result of remembering Krishna and focusing our consciousness in Krishna, what kind of a kovi, what kind of an intelligent person will not develop an attachment? Katara team, an attachment and an attraction to Krishna Katara. What makes someone attached to an activity is when they've heard the glories of that activity and the potency of that activity. And therefore the advertising, as Prabhupada's explaining, the advertising is there to make something appear more glorious than it actually is, so that we get sucked into giving up our money to do it. But actually, after having heard the glories of Krishna Katha, who will not develop, who will not want to develop an attraction for that? Prabhupada explains in the purport, the last paragraph of this purport. First I'll read the verse, the translation. With sword in hand, that sword is the remembrance of Krishna. Intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work karma by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? The last paragraph of the purport. Therefore, any sensible man who is above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge must constantly remember the personality of Godhead. By hearing about him, by glorifying him, by remembering him, by worshipping him always, without cessation, nityada. That is the perfect way of devotional service. That is the way of devotional service, and that is the result of devotional service. As Prabhupada once said, the result of chanting is more chanting. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, who are authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the bhakti cult, rigidly followed this rule. And they made immense literature of transcendental science for our benefit. They have chalked out ways for all classes of men in terms of the different castes and orders of life in pursuance of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So regardless of what position we are in, what our nature is, whether we are married, unmarried, renounced, unrenounced, worker, merchant, warrior, or intellectual, scholar, it doesn't make any difference. Everyone, by following our acharyas, everyone can engage according to their own position in such a way that they will focus their mind upon Krishna and thereby cut the knot binds us to death. So therefore, this is glorious. So what kind of a foolish person will not take advantage of this, who doesn't have this taste?
You already know.
Because what kind? This is actually explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Durdaivam idrizamihan anujanuraga. Someone who is unfortunate. And what is the cause of the unfortunateness for the living entity? That unfortunate that causes Mahaprabhu to pray in that way, that namakali bahuda nivasava shaktis, that you've given everything in your holy name, because the holy name of Krishna and Krishna Katha, they are all Krishna. Titrapitani ame smaranein nakala. There is no restrictions like there are in the Vedic principles for chanting the holy name. Itadilsi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi. But although you have made yourself so easily approachable through your holy name and your katha, durdhaivam idrisam, unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for you. So the Amnaya Sutra is quoted by this Amnaya Sutra, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has quoted this in his Bhajan Rahasya. He's explained that this durdaivam, this unfortunateness, is caused by anarthas. Anarthas means those things in the heart which shouldn't be in the heart, the contaminations that are in the heart, our consciousness. And he's described that they are of four kinds. These anarthas. One is tattva vibhrama, which means not understanding the philosophy properly, not understanding who we are, not understanding who Krishna is, not understanding our relationship with Krishna, etc. The second one is called aparad. This is what makes us unfortunate. Offense. Not knowing the philosophy properly, offense. There are different types of offenses that we commit. There's save aparad, nam aparad, offenses in Vaishnava aparad and janaparad, offenses against ordinary people. So there's tattva vibhrama aparad, and then there's asat trishna. Trishna means thirst. Asat means for the temper. We desire material things. And these things sit in the heart and they distract us from Krishna Katha. Asat Trishna. We want heavenly pleasures. We want earthly pleasures. We want mystic pleasures. We want so many things. We want to play with so many things. This is in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, this is described. How even a yogi who can leave his body through his yoga practice, he may want to explore the universe, go visit this planet, go to that planet, see something here, play with something there. This is an artha, asat trishna, the thirst for the temper. And the final one is vidaya dolabam, which means weakness of heart. Things that exist in our heart, aside from these other things that exist in our heart that shouldn't, but things that exist in our heart, such as desire for pratishta, fame, such as envy. This is riddhaya dolavam. These are very, very difficult to remove from the heart. And they cause our lack of taste. Mm. So what do we do if we don't have that taste? Should we wait to remove the anartas and come back later? Because that it doesn't work like that. So the next verse describes what to do if we don't have that taste. Shishusho sharadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevaya vipro punatirtana sevanat. That one or twice born sages, because Sutta is speaking to the sages of Namasaranya, by serving those devotees, mahatseva, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done, and by such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So serving the great devotees. So our acharyas have commented on this, that this is punya tirtha. This is great punya. Actually, punya tirtha means who are cleansed of all vices. But it means also that one should go to holy places and associate with the devotees there, because we know that the purpose of going to a holy place is associating with the devotees. But Prabhupada explains in his purport that just assisting the preachers will give us this affinity, because the preachers are so dear to Krishna. We can understand why. Of course, Krishna explains it in the Bhagavad Gita. Yayidam paramam guyam magbhakteshu vidasyati. This is param kritva. Those who explain the Bhagavad Gita, this is the greatest activity. Because going around and taking in the world, especially in Kali Yuga, it is full of people who are atheists, or at best innocent people, generally. Innocent people means that if they heard, they would change. Although right now they're acting in a demonic, foolish, atheistical, completely selfish, detrimental way, but if they heard properly, Shudramnevya upasate, tepi chatritirantyeva mrityum shruti parayana, if they were able to hear, they would change. But most people are atheistical and at best, this type of innocent at best, ignorant and innocent. So when the devotee goes around at his own personal inconvenience to preach to them, to tell them, you're wasting your life, Bolo Krishna, Bhajai Krishna, Koro Krishna, Sika, that you worship Krishna, you follow Krishna's instructions, don't waste your life. You're a soul. You should give yourself to Krishna. All that you're trying to attain will be vanquished by time. But you are eternal. You have an eternal life. So those devotees who travel throughout the world and preach in this way, they are so dear to Krishna. This is also described in the end of the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This Tesham Yesham Tvantagata Punyam Punya Shavanakirtana Jananam Punya Kamanam. When someone is Punya Kamanam, then the devotees, when they see pious people, they bestow their merciful glance upon them. And then those people transcend also. So we should either actually, we shouldn't either. We should serve the preachers. And practically speaking, the proper way to look at what we, anyone who's even preaching in this day and age, is not that we are preaching, that Prabhupada is preaching. And we are just serving him or assisting him. That's the proper way to look at it. That we are just simply the insignificant servant, assistant of our great founder at charge, Srila Prabhupada. And if we can put our consciousness in that way, that is wonderful. And how can we assist him? We can assist him by going door to door. We can assist him by doing Harinam. We can assist him by distributing prasadam. We can assist him by distributing books. We can assist him by cleaning the temple. We could assist him by worshiping the deities, by administrating, by making the gardens look so nice. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ways that we can assist the Mahat. And the result of that is we will hear from the Mahat. And the result of that is we will desire, by that hearing, we'll desire those qualities. And the result of desiring those qualities is that we will want to hear more, and the result of wanting to hear more is that we will get a taste of Krishna Katha. And that taste for Krishna Katha is bhakti, and it will develop into love for Krishna. And it comes in this way from this Mahat Sevaya Vipro. I'd like to read some of what Prabhupada explains and says in his purport. The asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the supreme will. Such devotees of God are very confidential. Are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. That is a blasphemy declared by the asuras. And the demonic followers of such asuras also accept pretenders as God or as incarnations. Then in the next two paragraphs down, the servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased than when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so they are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glories. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the qualities of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. So after serving, not that the serving ever ends, but once that desire to hear, the eagerness to hear Krishna Katha is there, then one moves to the next verse. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna. Everyone please. Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantastoya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotees, He cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. They are virtuous and they award punya, virtue. So when one becomes eager through service, through serving the exalted preacher, when one becomes eager to hear, then the anartas, the basic anartas which are in the heart, are removed by Krishna. He himself does it. Ridhyantisto yabhadrani, the inauspiciousness within the heart is removed by the Lord who is situated within the heart, because he is Sudit. Sudit means very, very dear friend. Very near and dear friend. So what are those, the inauspiciousness, those basic inauspiciousnesses that are within the heart that Krishna removes? Because the process goes on past this. These are the things that make us perform anishtita bhakti. Anishtita bhakti means unsteady devotional service. This is specifically what is removed to bring us to the next platform that will be described in the next verse, which we'll hear tomorrow. So we'll read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described these six anartas which are in the heart, which are removed by Krishna. The first is utsahamayi. Who knows what utsahamayi means? The initial exuberance of a youthful devotee, which is connected with great, great pride. A Brahmin child, having just begun study of the scriptures, thinks that he has immediately become a learned scholar worthy of everyone's praise. Similarly, a person just beginning devotional service may have the audacity to think that he has mastered everything. And he looks around and sees, oh, look at this, he doesn't know anything. Look at this one, he's been around. This is childish enthusiasm. It means, utsaha means enthusiasm, mayi means full of enthusiasm. But it is not mature. It is unripe. And it is full of pride. The second one is ghanatarala. This means literally thick, thin, condensed, or diluted. So sometimes such a person is so fired up, he's going to do everything. He's ready to save the world. He makes a vow, from now on I'm going to, he's chanting all day long, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the next day he sleeps all day long. And he doesn't want to do anything. And then some other day he's up there and he's going to, from now on I'm going to, full of great, great enthusiasm one day and nothing the next day. Thick, thin, garlatarala, ghanatarala, unsteadiness, anartha. The next one is vyudhavakalpa. This means this, vowing one day one thing, the next day. Just very much on the mental platform about what he should be doing. This is how it's described. Shall I spend my life happily in family life, making my wife and children Krishna conscious and worshipping the Lord at home? Or should I give them up and go to Vrindavan to perfect myself by engaging full time in hearing and chanting with no distraction? Maybe I should do that at the last stage of my life. Now I should enjoy pleasure. And I've understood that the whole material world is really not very, very valuable. But maybe I should maybe I should do that. Better that I renounce right now. Should I enjoy now and get out of my, yes, I should enjoy now and get it out of my system. No, I should renounce now. And there's Shastra to back up each one. So this is another type of vikalpa, sankalpa, accepting one, accepting, rejecting the other. The next one is Vishya Sangara. This is when Maya becomes so strong that we feel that we're being carried away by the waves of Maya. So then the devotee makes a firm resolve, from now on, I will not have anything to do with this Maya. I will renounce my addictions. I will be steady. I've seen that I'm unsteady now. From now on, I'm going to be steady, and I'm only going to take shelter of the holy names. So many times he attempts at renunciation, but he ends up enjoying those things that he was trying to renounce. An ongoing battle with the desires for sense enjoyment from former habits. Sometimes he meets with victory in controlling them, sometimes with defeat. This is Vishyasangra, struggle with sense pleasure. The fifth one is Niyamakshama. From today I will chant such and such number of rounds of japa, and I will pay so many obeisances. I'll also perform service for the devotees all day long. I won't talk about anything except the Lord. I'll give up all association with people who talk gossip. Though the devotee makes such resolutions every day, he's not always able to carry them out. This is Niyamakshaha, inability to follow rules. Vishya Sangara is the inability to give up sense enjoyment, while Niyamakshama is the inability to improve his devotional service. These are the basic anartas. And one more, Taranga Rangini. It is well known that the very nature of bhakti is to be attractive. Thus many people become attracted to the devotee. And as the old adage goes, by the public's attraction, one becomes wealthy. Bhakti produces much opportunities for material gain, worship, and position. Labha, puja, pratishta. These are weeds around the creeper of bhakti. Seeking one's own pleasure, ranga, amidst these weed-like facilities, which are but small waves, taranga, in the ocean of bhakti is called taranga rangani, delighting in material facilities. So these anartas, which are sticky, they're very sticky. They're hard to pull out of the heart. They're sticky and they stick to us. So Krishna, Radyantistoya Badarani, Vidunoti Saritsitam. He removes them from within. Prabhupada explains in his purport. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotee. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desire to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? This is the process of going back to Godhead. So much dependent on Ihan Mali Seichi Nitya Shravanadi Da, that the creeper of our devotion must be watered by the water of hearing and chanting. Yes.
Yesterday you were quoting Jiva Goswami that the Paramatma was mostly Maya Shakti and some Chit Shakti. Here speaking about Lord in the heart, Chrysostom knows the Paramatma. So my question was, in the beginning, because you mentioned the full realization of Bhagavan was Chit and Nadini Shakti, an internal energy. So in the beginning, does the devotee, even though they're actually approaching Krishna, are they actually reciprocating with him through his Paramatma form?
It depends on the person. But the devotee sees that sees Krishna within the heart, or he sees Krishna's form as Paramatma. He doesn't see the Paramatma as something independent from Krishna. But for the devotee, it's Krishna in the heart, actually. I really should have some more information about what Jiva Goswami meant by that, because it could sound like the Lord Paramatma is influenced by Maya, but he's not, certainly. He's Chiradakshaya Vishnu. So it's not like that. But he's the Lord in the heart. His function is to do with the material world, the Maya Shakti. So he has no, the Paramatma has, there are three Paramatmas, and they all have to do with the material world. While the Lord, so it's a secondary function of the Lord, not a primary function of the Lord.
Is it Paramatma when he's traveling with the living entity? There's no guarantee that the living entity has any interest whatsoever in service to him. So he's providing all of this.
Yeah, he's Samaham Sabhabhuteshu. He's being equal to all. For the non-devotee, although he is there, it's as if he is not there, because he's just allowing the material energy to work, for the laws of nature to work, like the judge. The judge's position is neutrality and just to apply the law. So that's like the Paramatma. And there's no eternal position through the worship of the Paramatma, even through yoga, if one goes to the to worship of the Paramatma, one can go to Brahmaloka. But then one has to decide whether one wants to go to Vaikuntha, or one wants to go to Brahman. And some of Paramatmavadis in the Patanjali Yoga, they even acknowledge the Lord's form, and then they want to merge into the Lord, his form. So it's not an eternal position, even. But it is the business of the yogis to realize the absolute truth in this way, and then they have to do something with that.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is himself saying,
as the Paramatma. That's his. This is his kala. This is portion of his plenary portion.
Well, when Srila Prabhupada quotes that verse,
Ishvara Sarvabhutanam,
he quotes it in the sense that it's one is reciprocating with Krishna, like in this same actions, I personally do. So in this verse and that verse, is this verse also Paramatma, Kala?
That's actually, if you're looking, but it depends on one's realization. If one desires to hear, then Krishna. He also says, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maya dateshu chapyaham. So the Paramatma's business is neutrality. Krishna's business is to reciprocate with his devotees. That's my understanding.
Prabhupada begins his purport to this text by discussing how Krishna is no different from transcendental sound.
Yes.
Is that to establish that Krishna helps from without through the medium of transcendental sound, and then from within, in this way, as Paramatma becomes the help?
You mean from within and without?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it like that. I had assumed that what was going on in the purport was establishing simply the strength of the hearing and chanting, that is association with Krishna. But, and then the next thing is something somewhat different, is how Krishna helps from within. He does more. In addition to that, he does more. But that's an interesting point, how he acts from within and without. We're running out of time. Last question. And this is a short one. Yeah.
In chapter 3, please, I don't understand. Srila Goswami is an implicit in purport, saying that the inundation of the universe at the end of Brahma's day not necessarily it's filled up with the water. He says like that. And then the Goswami says that every end of Brahma's day, the universe is inundated with water. And also, Vishnu with Rakuras supports. So, but all this is in our line, in our parampara. So, but it seems that there's a difference of their view.
The great Acharyas, they sometimes have different opinions about things. But I'm not exactly familiar with the reference that you're speaking of. So maybe next week when we discuss chapter 3, you can ask me about it later. But